Holy Spirit, we thank you for residing in our hearts. And right now, I just feel your leading that we are to pray for marriages, for relationships, for people that are in close proximity, that are maybe feeling the challenges of another change coming up. Maybe they've gotten so used to each other over the last year and a half that now there's a change and that's kind of shaking things up. Or as people are returning back to work or maybe doing activities that they haven't been able to in a year and a half, that can be kind of a challenge. Are there settings where people still feel maybe they need to wear masks or they don't, and then maybe that transition's causing them stress and maybe they're taking it out on loved ones. So Holy Spirit, as you reside in us, I pray that you would guide our minds, our thoughts, the things that we think, the things that we say, our actions. Holy Spirit, help us. We need you because without you, we tend to make some pretty poor decisions. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would guide us in everything that we do. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would help us to keep God at the center of all of our relationships. And so, Lord, I just pray if there are any marriages and any family relationships, friend relationships that are just going through struggle and strain right now, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would guide those individuals and those relationships to focus on you, and that would be what keeps people connected, that keeps people just bonded together, is our trust and our faith and our love that comes through you and in you. And so we just thank you so much, Lord, for all that you're doing in our lives. We pray this in your name. Amen. So we are continuing our series on the Holy Spirit, and I truly hope that you guys have been learning a lot. As I've mentioned before, if you haven't heard all the sermons we've done, I want to encourage you to go back, to educate yourselves. We will never know all that there is to know about the Holy Spirit, and some of the things are just beyond our comprehension, but it's so important that we have a better understanding of the Holy Spirit. And for this sermon this week, I was kind of thinking of an intro, and what came to mind was driver's licenses. For those of you guys that have been driving for a long, long time, maybe you don't even remember when you first got your driver's license. And for those of you that have only been driving for a few years, maybe you do. But I remember for myself that when I got my driver's license, it was so incredible. It was an incredible, I viewed it as a gift because now I had the freedom that I didn't have before. I could go places that I couldn't before, and after getting my license, I didn't need to rely on people for rides. There was this sense of freedom because of the DMV and this incredible gift that they had bestowed upon me. But the reality, and I quickly learned this when I was 16 and able to drive legally, is that with that freedom that comes with a driver's license, there is a level of responsibility and respect that you have to have. A license isn't this green light to do whatever you want. If you speed, you can get a ticket. If you get in an accident, you can hurt yourself and you can hurt others. And there's some similarities. There's no way that I could compare a license to the Holy Spirit, but there are some conceptual similarities because the Holy Spirit is an incredible gift from God. But we need to truly respect him and be responsible for the gifts that the Holy Spirit blesses us with. And so today, as we continue our series on the Holy Spirit, we're going to spend some time talking about how do we become more respectful and responsible in regard to the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to talk about some facts about the Holy Spirit. And I want to start off with maybe some of the most important, I guess, facts about the Holy Spirit. And that is, how do we as Christians, how do we experience more of the Holy Spirit? How do we experience the fullness of the Holy Spirit? We've talked about all these incredible gifts, the different ways that the Holy Spirit helps us, but I haven't necessarily talked about how do you experience more of the Holy Spirit in your life, because that's the key. That's what we want. So we're going to start there. And one of the things that you can do is pray. Because the reality is that God does answer prayers. He may not answer every prayer. He may not answer the prayers or your prayers the way you want, but he does, in fact, answer prayers. And listen to what Luke 11, verse 13. And today is going to be an NIV day. Just kind of chose to do that, was feeling led to do it that way. Verse 13, Luke 11, it says, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" So if you want to experience more of the Holy Spirit, if you want to experience those gifts, the power, however God wants to, or the Holy Spirit wants to give them to you, pray. Pray that you would experience more of the Holy Spirit. We also want to pray that we would desire more of the Holy Spirit. I think I mentioned this week one that there's many people out there that they don't want to experience more of the Holy Spirit because sometimes it's confusing or maybe a little bit scary, so they want nothing to do with him, not realizing that by thinking that way, they are limiting their lives as Christians. They're limiting their effectiveness in ministry because the Holy Spirit empowers us to do ministry. So pray that you would desire more the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, it says this. It says, "Follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy." So we need to eagerly desire more of the gifts that the Holy Spirit bestows, that he empowers us with. We also have to pray, as I said, that the Holy Spirit would empower us with more of those gifts. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 13, it says, "For this reason, the one who speaks in a tongue," so if they speak in a tongue, we know that that is a gift that's been bestowed upon them. It says, "They should pray that they may interpret what they say." So we want to pray for more of those gifts. We don't know if we will receive more of them or not, but we are told that we need to eagerly desire them and we need to pray for them. And we need to remember that the Holy Spirit equips and he empowers up us according to the way that he desires, according ultimately to God's will. And part of God's will is that those gifts, all of them, they are for the benefit of others, not ourselves. When we're praying, we don't pray that God bless me with this gift so I can do this and this and this. It's no, God, I pray that you would bestow upon me through the power of the Holy Spirit these gifts so I can do your will, so I can serve the kingdom the way you would have me serve. So that's the first thing we need to do, is we need to pray. The second thing is seek God's will. As I mentioned earlier, that the gifts are bestowed upon us based on God's will. Romans 8, verses 28 through 27, it tells us, "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses," or in our weakness, excuse me. "We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God." So we know that the Holy Spirit empowers these gifts as he chooses, but it's all in accordance to God's will. So we need to begin to desire what God desires. And when we do that, it'll help us better understand how the Holy Spirit has empowered us and kind of why and what for. So if you had some of those questions, not only what is my spiritual gift, but how am I supposed to use them? Well, seek God's will in every aspect of your life. We also need to seek agape love in our life. And if you recall, agape love, that is sacrificial love. It is truly desiring what is in the best interests of another individual. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 3, it references this, and it puts it into perspective of the gifts. It says, "If I speak in the tongues of men and or angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong, or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, I do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all that I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. In other words, you can possess, the Holy Spirit could have bestowed upon you incredible gifts for ministry to serve God's kingdom. But if you do not truly have agape, love in your heart, the gift is meaningless. Because chances are you won't use it to help people and you won't use it in the right manner. So it is most important that we seek agape, love in our life. And the final thing that we can do is passionately pursue the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, it says, "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." And Paul, he's writing this letter to Timothy, this young pastor, and he's encouraging him. He's saying, hey, you have been bestowed upon certain gifts, but don't just sit on them. Fan them into flame. You want to be bursting at the seams, so to speak, this passion, this desire for the Holy Spirit and serving God's kingdom. So if you want to experience the fullness of the Holy Spirit, passionately pursue him. This means learning about him more, which we have been doing. It means praying to him. I know years ago, I would struggle with this. I would say, I can pray to God, I can pray to Jesus, but it seems a little weird to pray to the Holy Spirit. And then I started learning more and more, and we've talked about it, that the Holy Spirit is one of three persons that is part of the Trinity. You absolutely can pray to the Holy Spirit. And why wouldn't you? Because he is God in us, and he is empowering us for ministry. So pray to the Holy Spirit in the same way that you pray to God and you pray to Jesus. Use the gifts that he has empowered you with to serve God's kingdom. And then finally, listen to the Holy Spirit and his leadings. And I love that I kind of ended there with listening, because it is a great transition to my next point, because there are many times and there are many Christians who do not listen to the Holy Spirit. And so let's talk about the ways that we can get in the way of the Holy Spirit. And I talked about this week one, but we didn't go into detail. So I want to go into detail today, because just like the driver's license I mentioned earlier, these are some of the warnings. This is some of the responsibility and respect that we have to have for the Holy Spirit. And so the first thing that we see biblically is that we can grieve the Holy Spirit. And that word grieve, it means to distress, to cause sorrow to, or to cause grief. So we can cause distress and sorrow and grief to the Holy Spirit, God in us. Ephesians 4, verses 30 through 31. We see it says that, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice." Let's go into that a little bit deeper. Let's go one step further into this. So how specifically is it that we grieve the Holy Spirit? There's two ways that we do it. One, we grieve the Holy Spirit in how we treat others. And the second is we grieve the Holy Spirit by how we treat God. And so let's talk about how we treat others. And we saw this list that I just read. It starts with bitterness. And bitterness is having this spirit inside, it's having this heart, basically, this mindset that refuses reconciliation. You hold on to that bitterness, you won't let it go. Two, rage. Rage, it is outbursts of anger. It's being quick-tempered for selfish reasons. Maybe it means just this uncontrollable anger. It's that outward expression of what you're feeling. That's rage. anger. It's a continuous attitude of hatred that ends up just continuing to be bottled within you. This could be referring to something just under that surface that just makes you so mad. And unfortunately, this anger, it destroys harmony and unity amongst believers. Maybe you've seen this in your in churches in the past. Maybe you've seen this at our church at times, where there is disunity because people are angry. Brawling. I've always wondered, does this mean just people fighting? They're brawling? But that's not what it means. Brawling, in this case, when you look at the Greek, it's these loud self-assertions of angry people determined to make their grievances known. So this is someone's like, I'm so mad and I just want everybody to know. That's what brawling is. Slander. It's destroying another person's good reputation by lying, gossiping, and spreading rumors. And then the final one is malice. This is deliberately attempting to harm another person. You're trying to do ill will towards them or to them. And so scripture tells us that these are ways that we grieve, that we hurt the Holy Spirit through our actions towards other people. But scripture tells us that we can also grieve the Holy Spirit through how we treat God. Isaiah 63, verses 8 through 10, it says this. He said, surely they are my people, children who will be true to me. And so he became their savior. So this is talking about Israel. In all their distress, he too was distressed. And the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and mercy, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. Yet they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. So he turned and became their enemy, and he fought against them. Several authors, different commentaries, they mentioned that when we grieve the Holy Spirit, he can abandon people to their sins and the consequences that follow. Just like the Israelites, who at times God allowed to be overtaken by their enemies due to their disobedience. So that's how we can grieve God. It's how we treat him, how we view him, how we disrespect him. And that grieves the Holy Spirit. We can also lie to the Holy Spirit. We see this talked about in Acts 5, verses 1 through 11. Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. This is when everybody was selling property and they were all sharing all their goods. So this is after the church has been birthed. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but to God. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Then some young men came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, tell me, is this the price that you and Ananias got for the land? Yes, she said, that is the price. Peter said to her, how could you conspire to test the Spirit of the Lord? Listen, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also. At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young men came in and, finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. Now, this is a scenario where it is so important to understand that we have a triune God. three persons in one. Because when you lie to the Holy Spirit, ultimately you are lying to God. And here's the thing, in the case of Ananias and Sapphira, they didn't need to lie. There was no reason for it. But they did, likely because they wanted to look as gracious as Barnabas. We see Barnabas earlier that he gave all like that he owned. He gave everything just graciously. He didn't need to lie, or he didn't lie. He just gave. But Ananias and Sapphira, they lied. They wanted to look a certain way. And here's the thing. Besides lying to God, the Holy Spirit had revealed the truth about Ananias and Sapphira's deception to Peter. Last week, I mentioned to you guys the manifestation gift of discerning of spirits, and we talked about how God at times will reveal the truth of people's hearts to people. That's a gifting. So we have to be careful, because there's times that we lie. Not only does God know, but God may have revealed that to people around you. He may have revealed that to people you go to church with. We have to be careful that we don't lie to the Holy Spirit. We can also quench the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 19 through 22, it says this. It says, do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. The Greek word for quench, it expresses this idea of extinguishing. And we talk about like the fire of the Holy Spirit. That's the image we all often have. That's what scripture talks about. And so we can quench, we can try to put out the fire of the Holy Spirit. And in the church in Thessalonica, it is most likely that was what was happening is you had these members of the church who were trying to limit or forbid the exercise of certain spiritual gifts. We don't want to be a church like that. We don't want to quench the Holy Spirit. Because when we do that, when we quench the Holy Spirit, we are suppressing what the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives, in the lives of others, and in the life of the church. People could also resist the Holy Spirit. Acts 7, verse 51. It says, you stiff-necked people, your hearts and ears are uncircumcised. You are just like your ancestors. Always resist the Holy Spirit. So let's take a look at a couple of the words that are used here to describe these people. It says stiff-necked. That means they are stubborn, refusing to change their opinions or actions despite someone attempting to do so. And this is something that the nation of Israel kept struggling with. They were resisting the Holy Spirit. Basically, God is saying to them, look at all I have done for you, and yet you are still disobedient, and you continue to doubt me. And then we see the terms uncircumcised hearts and ears. And when we talk about circumcision in the Bible, we're not talking about a physical circumcision. That did happen in the Old Testament, but there's something behind that. It is a ultimately, what we're talking about here in Acts, it's a spiritual circumcision, and that is cutting away the old sinful nature and desiring what God wants. So not being circumcised spiritually is letting your old nature rule your heart. And since the Holy Spirit desires to speak to the hearts of believers, if your heart and your ears are not yielding to God and the leading of the Holy Spirit, then you are in a state of resistance. We can also insult the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 10, verses 26 through 29 says this. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think someone deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who is treated as an unholy thing, the blood of the covenant that sanctified them? And who has insulted the Spirit of grace? This passage is talking about individuals who have heard the gospel message but refuse to respond to the call and the drawing of the Holy Spirit. It is described that they are walking all over Jesus, and they are treating his sacrifice, his death on the cross, as insignificant and unholy. That insults the Holy Spirit. In some translations of the Bible, it says that it enrages the Holy Spirit. Now, here's the thing, and this is why this isn't easy to hear, but this is the Bible. It's not always fun and games in the Bible and blessings and everything being perfect. There are some really serious things that we need to pay attention to. And these behaviors, these actions that I've listed, they really kind of lead to the only unforgivable sin in the Bible. And many of you, maybe you don't know that there is an unforgivable sin. And that is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And that word blasphemy, it means to speak negatively of the Holy Spirit, denying the power of the Holy Spirit, or misattributing something the Holy Spirit has done or didn't do. This is mentioned in several places in the Gospels. I'm going to talk about what we see written in Matthew, chapter 12, verses 31 and 32. It says this, "And so I tell you, every kind of sin and slander can be forgiven, but blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or the age to come." Now, let me explain this to you, because people may be totally confused in this and not get it. What this scripture is saying, one, is we need to be careful how we treat things, how we look at things. And in the original context of what this passage is referring to, it's talking about religious leaders, people who claimed, right, their faith, but they were attributing the miracles that Jesus was doing to Satan. And ultimately, what we see is that their issue was hardness of heart. They were unable to see the truth of Jesus, who he was, who he is, and what he was doing. And so this truth, it isn't just for those we read about in the Old Testament. There is context and application today. However, it's important to understand that blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, it's not a one-time sin or occasional doubts or struggles with your faith. It is a complete denial of Jesus and an intentional disregard and disbelief in the power of the Holy Spirit, because the miracles that Jesus did, they're because of the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was also in Jesus. Scripture tells us that. And so we have to be careful how we treat the incredible, miraculous things of the Holy Spirit, because we read that this is the only unforgivable sin. Now, here's the thing. If you are sitting there saying, wow, I wonder if I have ever committed this sin, because there are people out there that they stress over this. But don't worry. The fact that you may stress over this, the fact that it may cross your mind, have I committed this unforgivable sin? It shows that you have it, because you are paying attention, that you have a burden on your heart that you don't want to do this. But knowing that this sin is possible should serve as a warning to pay attention to how you're living. Pay attention to your actions. Pay attention to your thoughts. We see this idea presented again in Hebrews 6, verses 4 through 6. It says, "It is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the word of God and the powers of the coming age, and who have fallen away." So this is individuals who, man, they're Christians. They sure seem to be saved. They experience the Holy Spirit. And the only way they experience the Holy Spirit is if you're saved. So these are Christians. "And then they have fallen away, to be brought back to repentance. To their loss, they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace." So we need to take this serious. Now, as I was talking to Emily, because Emily, like, we always look at each other's sermons. You know, she's like, wow, that's just so heavy and intense. You got to end this on a positive note. And I want to do that because by this last section, you could be so discouraged about your faith or being a follower of Jesus. But that's not what this is about. This is about reinforcing that we need to take serious that incredible gift of the Holy Spirit in us. And here's why. Let me read one final verse. This is Romans 5, verses 1 through 5. It says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, so this is the salvation that we experience, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, who through whom we have gained access by faith into grace, into this grace, in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of that glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame. Here's the most incredible part of this. I mean, God helps us to get through crazy situations in our life because we have trusted and believed in him. We experience salvation. Verse 5, as we close out here, it says this, or actually, So it says, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So we experience God's love because of the Holy Spirit that it is poured into our hearts. So the closer that we get to the Holy Spirit, we not only better understand how much God loves us, we experience that. That's the point that I'm trying to get to you guys today, that we need to be responsible and respect the Holy Spirit. Why? Because we experience God's love through him in our hearts. And so just like the freedom that we experience when we get our licenses, it's only freedom, it is only a blessing if we also understand the respect and responsibility that comes with it. Lord Jesus, I pray you would help us. Holy Spirit, help us as you dwell inside of us. Help us in our hearts to better understand who you are. Help us to experience more of God's love in us, and through us, the love that is all around us, by the way that we respect you, by the way that we are responsible by the gifts that you have bestowed upon us. Help us to be a people and a church that love God more and more every day because of the Holy Spirit in us, that we just understand it more. Help us to be a transformational church who shares the love of Christ because we have the Holy Spirit in us and we understand more about you, Holy Spirit. I pray that if there is anyone here who is struggling with their faith, if there is anyone here who is standing in the way of you, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would speak to them in such a mighty way, that you would reveal yourself to them, that it would be transformational, that by little changes in their attitudes and their actions, they would experience more of God's love. Thank you so much, Holy Spirit. Thank you for dwelling inside of us, for being our counselor, our guide, and for helping us to experience the love of the Holy Spirit, or the love of God, excuse me, through you, Holy Spirit. We love you so much. We pray this in your name. Amen. Well, guys, I'm going to transition, and we're going to go over some of our announcements that I mentioned earlier. One announcement, and I'm excited about this, so you guys all know that we have a first Saturday prayer that we do every month, and we would love for you guys to join us. But the prayer ministry, we've had another meeting that we have done. It's kind of been a closed kind of prayer time that we have done as a ministry group. But we wanted to kind of find another day that we could be praying in the week. It's kind of hard to do that on a Saturday twice a month. And so we're going to have our third Saturday prayer is going to transition to a third Wednesday. So every month we are going to have a third Wednesday prayer, and we're going to have it at 6:30, and it's going to be short. It's going to be a half hour. We're just going to be focused on praying for one another. And if someone has a need, that's what we're going to pray about. We're keeping it kind of short because we also know that that's the day that we typically have our small groups or that we have our Bible studies. And so we would love for you guys to join us. We're going to have our first one this coming Wednesday. If you're interested, I didn't get the information and the Zoom link out quick enough. So if you are interested in joining us this Wednesday to pray, just send me an email at andrew@peninsulahope.org, and I will send you the link, and we'd love for you guys to join us. Now, let me get to kind of our discussion about phase one, which will be starting to do some activity at the church. As I've mentioned before, phase one is going to be live streaming from the church building. So not a ton of stuff is going to change. For those who are going to be involved in this first stage process, obviously you'll be at the church, you'll get to see some more people. So I think that's going to be exciting. And there's going to be a little bit of a different background as well. And so we are going to start live streaming from the church on Sunday, August 1st. Because of the situation Emily and I have out near Colorado, we probably won't be in the church building on the 1st. So we will probably still be streaming from here, but we will have worship going on at the church that you guys will see. So it's Sunday, August 1st. And those who will be present at the church for phase one are pastors, worship team members, and then those who are involved on the AV team as well. So just letting you know, if we need extra help, we'll let you know. But during this phase, please don't just show up at the church unless, you know, we have asked you to be there. Also, due to both the Nichigo and English ministries utilizing the large sanctuary for service and also in the need to clean and disinfect between services, service times for both ministries will be changing. And so I'm praying that you guys will be flexible in this. It means we're going to be getting up about an hour earlier than we have. And so English worship will start at 9 a.m. And then there'll be about an hour, maybe 45 minutes of cleaning time. And then Nichigo worship will start at 11 a.m. And so it's going to be an hour earlier and an hour later is basically what we're doing with our Sunday services. And again, that starts Sunday, August 1st. And so until that time, right now, we're not planning to change times or anything right now. So it'll be August 1st, and we'll send plenty of notice that times will change. Our meeting times will change. What this means is that community group times will change as well. So those will take place right after services ended. And so that will be basically an hour earlier from now, just like we're doing after service, then we'll transition into our community group time. The one difference with that, and again, we'll share more information about that, for individuals that are on site at the church, they will not be attending your community groups at that time because they're going to be at the church and it's just too much of a transition to kind of get them back in time. So they're probably going to be hanging out on their own. So, but they are still part of your community groups. And so just wanted to kind of let you know that. So hopefully that made sense. We'll send out more information about that. We haven't determined a specific date on our transition to phase two. And phase two, that's actually in-person worship. So that's when people who aren't serving as part of the streaming process, hey, that's when we are all back at the church. That could be sooner than later. We don't know. Obviously, we want to keep everybody safe. We want to do things well. And so that part of it is still to be determined. Also, just want to let you guys know that for those of you that are joining from out of state, or for those of you who just know, yeah, we're still not comfortable for a while coming back in person, we're not going to abandon doing what we're doing online. We're just looking at ways to improve that. And I'm excited because I think it's something that is here to stay. And so if for whatever reason you're not feeling comfortable coming back in person when we're able to do that with everybody at the church, don't worry. You'll still be able to join us online. You know, thank you guys all for your ongoing prayers and your patience. We know this has been a long time, you know, that we have been at home. But changes are coming. We will get to see each other soon, but we're just praying that you would continue to be patient, understanding, and continue to pray for us as we just discern all the steps of the process. So thank you guys so much for everything that you guys have been doing. So let me close us out in prayer, and then Emily will transition us into our community groups. Lord Jesus, we just give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. And thank you so much. Thank you so much that we can, as humans, we can come up with these elaborate plans on how to live life, on how to open a church, but we have you, Holy Spirit, to rely on, that again, you will guide us, you will help us, you will close doors only you can close, and you will open doors only you can open. So I just pray over our process, I pray over each of our hearts that we would be patient, that we would realize that, Lord, you are everywhere. So whether we gather in person or online, as long as our hearts are right, we're worshiping you. So Lord Jesus, I pray for our church, for all of our members here, for those that couldn't join us. And Holy Spirit, thank you. Holy Spirit, have your way in our lives, in our church. Help us to be the people in the church that you want us to be. We pray this in your name. Amen. See you guys shortly in your community groups.